Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to read from the 13th chapter, verses 10 through 17. It's a story about Jesus teaching on the Sabbath, a controversy that develops around that. Not simply teaching, but healing that day. But I want to focus this morning on a less known part of that story. So listen for the Word of God. We do invite any children before we read or as we read to come to our playground. Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, There are 6 days on which work ought to be done, and come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame. And the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The parents-to-be picked two sets of names. A first and middle name if the infant was to be a boy, and a second set if the baby was to be a girl. Though sonograms were done throughout the pregnancy, they insisted on not knowing the baby's gender. "I want to be surprised," the husband had said. All the relatives were asking, "Do you know if it's a boy or a girl?" And especially they asked, "What are you going to name the baby?" But they chose to keep the name secret until the baby was born. They had had twin daughters born prematurely, and saw those two girls live only a day. And so they did not want to get the hopes of their family or themselves up too high. And finally, the child was born. And her relatives were told by phone that she was Lori Elizabeth. Lori simply because her parents liked that name. And Elizabeth because that was the name of her paternal grandmother, my mom, who had predeceased her birth and she would never know, and yet to this very day still reminds us from time to time of her. In her mannerisms, in some of her actions. And now her daughter, of whom you've heard me speak more than once, that daughter's middle name is Elizabeth, for her mom and the great-grandmother the child will never know. Hannah Elizabeth. And then a few years later, when the boy was born to this couple, The same ritual was repeated. He was named John William, for his paternal grandfather, my dad, the one who had just had major cancer surgery, the one who had adopted me and raised me as his own, and William, God forbid, for the boy's dad, me. Maybe not the best legacy to give a child. Now, of the maternal grandparents, my wife Roberta and her children, our children, have many wonderful, wonderful memories. But of their paternal grandparents, my parents, my children have no memories. But they carry something else of my parents. They carry their names, Lori Elizabeth, John. Names, naming. It's important stuff, isn't it? What's in a name, our sermon title asks? A lot, a whole lot. For example, all of us know someone, I suspect, with whom you can't think of that person with another name. I learned that early on in coaching my son's youth baseball team. I actually was the assistant coach, and our team had a child on it named Bruno. Now, you tell me, what position would a boy named Bruno play? You couldn't think of any better position for a boy named Bruno than catcher. And Bruno lived into this image. He was your prototypical catcher, a tough kid, someone not afraid to block the plate. And in my college fraternity days, everyone had to have a name, a nickname that is, Slim, Lizard, Yogi, Jock. I was Ingy, a name my wife said she didn't like, so it was quickly dropped. And the guy who was always pondering at fraternity meetings the deeper significance of last weekend's fraternity party, we called him Plato. But friends, too often names are not loving. They're names that represent our cruelty to others. Names that are descriptive, but painfully so. Pee-wee, fatso, hunchback, nerd, squeaky. Can you feel the pain of having such a name? Or closer to home, perhaps, do you know the pain of having such a name? Yes, it makes such a difference in how we are named. Now, today's gospel lesson is a story about a woman, and in some translations, she is identified as the bent woman. In the original language, she is literally the bending double woman. How would you like to be immortalized in Scripture with that name? She was bent over, says our translation, had been bent over, staring at the ground, back terribly contorted for many, many years. She doesn't appear to have a name to anyone in town. When they saw her creeping down the street, body bent, eyes facing down on the ground, they would say, not something like, well, there comes Mary, or look, it's Ruth. No, they would say, here comes the bent woman, the crippled woman. What a terrible name. What an awful burden to bear. Yes, the woman doesn't have a name other than the one given to her by the town, a name based on her disability. And in her name was her life, and in it was her destiny. She doesn't have an identity other than that as of a victim. She doesn't have a family, it seems, no occupation, nothing other than her deformity. She is the one who is bent, stooped, bearing upon her shoulders an invisible yet very heavy burden, the burden of being different. The burden of not looking like everyone else, the burden of not being able to do what everyone else does. She is the crooked woman, the bent double woman. And my friends, I think she is there for everyone who is so named. Named because they are different. She's just a drunk, retarded, slow, stupid, fatso, nerd, various ethnic, gender, religious, and racial slurs, terrible names, all of them, terrible names. And then one day in the synagogue, she is encountered by Jesus, and how Jesus refers to her. Jesus heals her, and that is wonderful. For the first time in her adult life, she is able to stand straight, to look straight ahead. But perhaps, my friends, just as wonderful is the way Jesus speaks to her, what Jesus says about her. He does not call her disabled or hindered or bent woman. Rather, Jesus calls her this. He calls her a daughter of Abraham. I think that's significant. The one whom we, even the Bible calls the crooked woman, the bent woman, is called by Jesus a daughter of Abraham. And what does it mean to be called a daughter of Abraham? Perhaps you recall that Abraham is the great-great-granddaddy of the nation Israel. God promised to make a great nation of him and Sarah, as numerous as the stars in the heaven. And through him, not only would they themselves be blessed, but all the world would be blessed, says the scripture. When the promise is repeated later in Genesis, he's told to change his name from Abram, meaning exalted ancestor, to Abraham, meaning ancestor of a multitude. And later in another scripture passage, his wife is asked to change her name from Sarai to Sarah. And in the midst of this transforming encounter with God, their names are changed, signifying a new identity. They are told that they will be blessed, and more importantly, they are told that they will be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. And this woman in our gospel lesson is called a daughter of this same Abraham. She's an heir to these blessings of God. Moreover, as a daughter of Abraham and Sarah, she is called to be a blessing to the whole earth. She is meant for more than living with this heavy burden. She, who was the bent over woman, is renamed to signify that she is a part of God's great salvation of the whole world. As she is transformed by Jesus' healing touch, she is given a new name to signify her new identity. And let me tell you something, my friends. I'm not the only person who's read this passage and declared this statement. I think that even if she had not been healed of her deformity, she would still now be able to live with dignity and with meaning because she was named as a daughter of Abraham. It's a name to live up to, a name to live into. She who has been blessed with healing is to be a blessing to the world. Her life has been renamed, not as a long story now of sadness, but as a part of God's great drama of redemption. Yes, naming. It's so important. Now, friends, some of you, at least some of the time, some of us, I should say, have been given negative and abusive names. Names that are hard to shake, names that demean and devalue you. This passage gives you hope. Gives us hope that we have a new name, a child of God, a spiritual daughter or son of Abraham. And some of us, perhaps most of us, at some time or another, have unfortunately been name callers, especially in the heat of anger, perhaps from time to time even calling a loved one an unkind or unloving name. And this passage calls us to a new, a better way, a better name to give others. Children of God, to treat them with that kind of dignity and respect. And then there are those of you who have named yourselves unfairly, those of us again. In the midst of the darkness of depression or self-despair, sometimes those suffering in this way name themselves in ways that are worse than anyone else would name them and choose to believe those names. Oh, I'm unworthy. I'm unlovable. I'm a failure. But our passage begs us to consider that we all have a dignity and a value in God's eyes because we are named as God's own. And here at Wildwood Presbyterian, we need to remember our name as Eric comes as your new pastor, that we are indeed children of God, church, the body of Christ. And to live into that name, and to be that name. Now, earlier in this service, we baptized little Everett Jonathan Nays, who's being so good up here on the first row. And we lay on him as we lay on each of us when we baptize, a much more revealing name. Not simply child of God or Everett, but Christian. One for whom Christ has given his life and has arisen to give him endless new possibilities of life. Him and you and me. We will predict that this young Christian's life will be a long story of growing into that name, of living into God's gracious dreams for us. And that is how we are not only to think of little Everett, but of you and you and even the likes of me. Let me close with a brief story. A 60 Minutes segment a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, featured a ship, a hospital ship, called Africa Mercy. That ship travels throughout Africa along the coastline, obviously, to do surgeries, restoring vision to those who cannot see, and taking babies and young children who have been so deformed by facial tumors that are prevalent in that region, and transforming them through various plastic surgeries. They come back again and again, and restoring their appearance. And at the end of that feature, a doctor was interviewed, a doctor on that ship, and he said, "These children who have been so deformed with these tumors, the local people call them rubbish." And they said, this doctor did, "With this surgery and surgeries, they no longer are rubbish." And friends, in the waters of baptism, by God's touch, none of us is rubbish or any negative name. All of us are children of God, daughters and sons of Abraham, Christian. As Eric comes, let's continue to live that way. Amen.